Hello, it's Margot Kingston here, and the story is Watergate. And one of the independents that NoFib's endorsing, standing for McKellar, is Alice Thompson. Alice is an expert on government infrastructure projects, and she was an infrastructure advisor to Malcolm Turnbull, our elected Prime Minister, when he was in the job. Hello, Alice, how are you?
Hi, Margot, I'm very well. Thank you for having me back on the program.
Now, you delivered yourself of a fairly incendiary series of tweets last night, which it just felt like we were finally getting to the inside about what Watergate's all about. And you started your thread with this. My legacy in the Prime Minister's office was to reduce the autonomy of incoming Infrastructure Minister Barnaby Joyce to make unilateral decisions on Australia's $100 billion infrastructure portfolio and to vest those decisions in Cabinet. Could see the writing on the wall. Please explain.
So I had had experience in other state governments and different cabinets, and certainly was looking at New South Wales. Basically, we're dealing with a lot of public money in the infrastructure portfolio. It's one of those portfolios that also has it's fairly politicised in comparison with others. And certainly when we're looking at large amounts of public money, it makes sense to have good processes that provide some transparency and input into those decisions. So I was looking at that and thinking that we do need to make some changes in the Commonwealth, but also those changes would have applied to any other minister. It was true that Barnaby Joyce was coming in, and I think when we look at some of the issues that have come out over the last few days, he does act volatile and he does seem to be saying less than the truth when dealing with public money. So I think that's something concerning. And this is really about managing risk for any incoming minister and how governments make decisions about public funding.
As soon as I read that tweet, I remembered late last year when the government was, you know, slowly coming to the table on the possibility of a federal ICAC. And the National Party said they would not support it unless infrastructure decisions National Party ministers made against expert advice were excluded from ICAC. Now, what does that tell you?
It says that they are comfortable with a lesser level of integrity applied to this funding. So the minister has a fair amount of autonomy in an infrastructure budget because it comes under the Land Transport Act.
Yep.
So any changes in Cabinet, they don't override that Act, but what it does is it means you get more inputs into decisions, and it reduces or limits the autonomy of a minister to be able to make some decisions on that. Now, we'd seen that Barnaby Joyce had been throwing his weight around just in the coalition balance of power, talking about inland rail, also water infrastructure and the $5 billion NAIF. So there's a lot of money that we're talking around here, and I think we need to have be comfortable that there is sound process, the public servants and the experts are having their inputs. For example, one of the things, reforms, was to bring Infrastructure Australia, the government's independent infrastructure advisor, to the cabinet table. So basically all ministers and the prime ministers could hear from the minister's point of view. Everyone had a chance to have input, and they also had that opportunity to hear from the independent infrastructure advisor in making a decision.
Okay, so can I be blunt? Did the former Prime Minister trust Barnaby Joyce?
It wasn't about that. As I said, these reforms should have happened anyway, and perhaps they should have happened before this stage. What recent events show is that Barnaby in particular is a fairly volatile minister and hasn't yet given straight answers to some of the questions around these water deals as well. So that raises questions of doubt. I think the issue here is that we don't actually have a mechanism to in the federal government with which to independently investigate these issues to see if there is corruption or otherwise.
Another fascinating part of your thread, you said this: grey favours are endemic. Stacking of boards with corporate sector mates is rife. And you said after the government made a corporate mate, the chair of Infrastructure Australia, every single recommendation after that was about privatisation. So are we looking at an epidemic of soft corruption? I mean, do we need to really investigate the public service and try and clean it up and strengthen its independence? Or are we just inevitably going down an American type, everything is corrupt scenario?
Well, I wonder if these issues are new. And of course, corruption doesn't necessarily need to involve the exchange of money or to a benefit. There's a lot of grey in all of that. So something like making an ex-MP and putting them on a government board, that's completely within guidelines, but it certainly doesn't meet public expectations or our expectations on a bit of transparency in those decisions. The Infrastructure Australia one was really quite interesting because it, under the Abbott government, he'd actually rewritten, I mean, this is a statutory entity, its remit is written in legislation, and the Abbott government, in consultation with Infrastructure Partnerships Australia, had actually rewritten the legislation and then appointed the chair, the CEO and the head of policy to that. So when you do that, basically, if you've got a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And for that organisation, that nail was privatisation. And that tended to slant what they thought government ought to be doing, what their role was and what the priorities were, which, of course, are privatisation of public assets.
And The way you talk, I'm thinking, no wonder the majority of Australians don't trust government, because this looks to me like a straight out, put your mates in to look after the big end of town and who cares about the services to the people. I mean, is it really that bad?
Well, we've always known that there's been a transfer of ministers leaving their portfolios, for example, and then going into some of the industry bodies and vice versa. These things have occurred, or ex-advisors going, you know, turning into lobbyists. This kind of occurs, but where the issue is really about transparency. And that's where I think the public wants some assurance. And in order to get that, there needs to be some independent assessment of dealings, of process, who has benefit, what have the outcomes been, and of course to advise on how to make it better continually as we go, because we don't want to sit here in an election and keep talking about corruption for the sake thereof. I think the conversation right now is, what do we do about it?
Alice, as an expert in this field, what are the unanswered questions on Watergate that you think the government must, before the election, tell the people of Australia?
We've just seen in the last couple of days there have been serious questions of probity that have been raised, one around the process, around the decisions, around the input of advice, around the transaction itself. And right now, from my view, I think like everyone else sitting in their lounge room as well, it's quite difficult to get to the bottom of it, particularly when the ministers involved seem to have been quite, you know, less than the truth. They're not quite telling us what's going on. So we are no better or worse for understanding what has gone on in this transaction. But there are questions because they haven't given us a straight answer on all of these. So that's when we do need to have some vehicle or some mechanism that is capable of undertaking that investigation at arm's length from government, that has retrospective powers, that has the power to call witnesses or to call information. And I think a step like that would go a great deal to restoring public trust in government.
I don't know if you read a quite moving thread by Fun on the Run, Nadine, who was a retired public service whistleblower. Did you read that one?
No, I haven't. Tell me about it.
Well, it was basically about grey corruption, about public servants, you know, being told if you don't do what we want, you'll get transferred or you lose your job, etc. And she said this: Watergate is the tip of the iceberg. It was big enough and serious enough to break out of the public service closed shop. For a slightly damaged public servant like me, it is encouraging and heartening that internal government workings are being exposed here. Are they going to get away with it again? You're the fourth estate. Act like it. Our democracy needs you. And I guess the question I've got for you, as someone who is on the inside, has the press gallery lost the plot in terms of not really digging deep into the internal workings to expose the hard and soft corruption? And do we need to take stock and to actually get some beat reporters to dig down and get the truth behind the spin on this stuff?
Well, I think this is where I'd be interested to hear your views, Mark. I mean, clearly looking at your tweets and communications over the past week, you weren't happy with the level of intervention or lack of interest by the press.
I was disgusted.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just not asking factual. Like, the great thing about Patricia's interview with Barnaby last night is she asked factual questions, and it became crystal clear to everyone that he would not answer any factual questions.
Yes.
I'd like us to sort of drop the spin and just dig. You know, we need beat reporters for the public service, in my opinion. We need
is
them
it getting,
to get back again.
Is it getting worse?
Yeah, it's getting much, much worse, because with the collapse of the business model, we've lost our beat reporters. We've lost our rounds reporters in Canberra, and everyone's just chasing after the latest hot button or shiny bauble. And I think we've seen, like with Rick Morton doing the social services round in the Oz, he's basically the only person on that beat, and he keeps breaking great stories, which are of real interest to voters.
Mm. It says to me that there's basically we're in a bit of a crisis, right? People don't trust government. They don't trust that decisions are being made in their own interests. There are ways where that's more blatant in terms of political donations. And then there's a lot of grey in between, as I said, which might fit within the guidelines. For example, pork barrelling is a perfect example of that, where it is in with the minister's delegation to make a decision on projects. But it does start to smell when you get, you know, 4 out of 5 projects sitting in marginal seats. That starts to not make sense. It's that question about who benefits, who is this for? So when we look forward about what to do about it, you're right. The media probably needs to lift their game in this regard. It also makes sense, doesn't it, that we are funding the independent institutions who we do rely upon for information and we do trust them, like the CSIRO, Geoscience, who I thought it was quite brave of those public servants while there was a Freedom of Information request to release their papers. The ABC, we need this independent media. ABS is another example of that. We also do need to have an entity that we can refer serious questions of misconduct for that independent examination rather than just kind of tossing it around in the media.
Give me your last pitch. You're up against a Liberal MP in the safe seat of McKellar. Why should the people vote for you rather than the Liberal on May 18 in the context of what we've been talking about?
Because I'll actually take action to clean up government, because I see it's so fundamental for every decision across every portfolio now and into the future. This is really an urgent priority, and they've shown that they're okay with a lack of transparency, but they, you know, also not willing to support any entity or even very basic levels of reform, like publishing ministers' diaries like they do in New South Wales, and donations reforms. We need to see these things, and I will certainly be pushing for that should I be elected and sitting in Parliament as a priority.
Thanks, Minnie, for talking with me again, Alison, and good luck in McKellar.
Thank you very much, Margot. Bye.